All right, if you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Luke and chapter number 5, I would like to begin reading at verse number 1. The book of Luke, chapter number 5, reading at verse number 1. My subject this morning is Becoming Fishers of Men. Luke chapter number 5 and reading at verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. It's very hard to read the context of this event in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ and not see the practical intent that he had for his disciples in regard to becoming fishers of men. It is an object lesson, if you will, both to ministers of the gospel and to everyone of the Lord's New Testament churches as to what the Lord would have his churches and his ministers to be involved in, that is, to become fishers of men. We are really, whether we like it or not, as preachers of the gospel and as members of the Lord's church, fishers of men, whether we realize that or not. Whether we are actively occupied in that work or not, the Lord has designated us to be fishers of men. Now that statement in itself is very much misunderstood in the world. There's a lot of different ideas that people in the religious world might express in what it means to be a fisher of men. Most have the idea that it involves enticing and trying to convince sinners to become religious, to embrace Christ, or maybe to open up their hearts and to allow Jesus to come inside and things of that nature. And I'm convinced that most people in the religious world do not really understand what it means to be a fisher of men. And so for a while this morning, we want to try to look at our Lord's instruction and His practical conduct before His disciples, that it might teach us, as it did no doubt them, what it really means to be fishers of men. That we as ministers of the gospel might be faithful to fulfill that work, and also as one of the Lord's churches, we might be faithful. This church here and other churches might be faithful to fulfill that work which the Lord has commissioned for us as His people. First of all, let's look just practically at the Lord's instruction to Simon. Of course, He taught the spiritual lesson about becoming fishers of men by a practical fishing lesson before Simon and the others there, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were fishers by trade, fishermen by trade on the Sea of Galilee. And we see how that he taught them, speaking to them about how that they ought to become fishers of men by giving them just a practical fishing lesson. In verse number 4, he says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." To emphasize, of course, to Simon, John and James and the others there, his disciples, that as far as fishing for fish is concerned, something that these fishermen already knew, that except they launch out into the deep and let down their nets, they would not be able to catch any fish from the practical standpoint. Now we take that and make an application of it in reference to our work as the Lord's people, as the Lord's churches. We can see the instruction very clearly that the Lord is in essence saying to us spiritually that in order to be fishers of men, we must launch out into the deep and we must let down our nets for a draught. And launching out, of course, is applicable to the expression of the commission in the New Testament. The Lord has commissioned us as His people, and particularly as His churches, to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He has told us, in essence, that we must go. To become fishers of men, we must go. We must launch out. We must, like fishermen do, get in our ship or our boat and go out into the ocean of the world, the sea of the world, and be busy about launching out and casting out our nets for a draught in order to win people to Christ, as the expression is sometimes used. There in the book of Matthew chapter 28, I'll read that Great Commission as we often call it, in verse number 19 of Matthew chapter 28. Here the Lord says, Matthew 28, reading at verse 19, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So if we, as the Lord's churches, are ever going to become fishers of men, if we are ever going to see sinners saved and converted to Christ, if we're ever going to see sinners repent of their sins and believe upon the gospel, we must go, therefore. And I believe for every local New Testament church, that means that we must start where we are, wherever the Lord has placed us, right in our own community. We must launch out from there and go beyond as far as the Lord will allow us to reach. Not only in our own evangelism as a local church, but also in the support of missions, launching out in our own community and going beyond as far as the Lord will allow us to reach into the world to become fishers of men. So this is very instructive in that we cannot expect the Lord to save His people or to use us as the instrument of saving His people except we go forth into the world. Unless we are truly missionary Baptists, independent missionary Baptists, we cannot expect the Lord to bless us in the work that He's given for us to do. We must launch out into the deep. That is, in the shallow areas and in the deep areas, in local missions, in our personal mission work, and in foreign mission work, as far as we are able to reach, we must launch out into the world. Go ye therefore, launch out, and do the work of becoming fishers of men. And then also, the statement there, let down your nets, is likewise very instructive for us, isn't it? Because it shows us that there was a means. It's not enough to launch out in order to catch fish. We know that if we go fishing, even today, we have to have a fishing pole or something that we're going to use, some means by which we are going to catch fish. And so the means here, the practical means that the Lord is instructing His people concerning catching fish is to let down their nets. Just in the same way that they have always done as fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. Let down your nets for a drought. Because there is a means appointed by which we are to catch fish. And likewise, there is a means appointed by God whereby we are to become fishers of men. We're to let down the net of the gospel. We know from our study in the New Testament that the means God has appointed unto the salvation of sinners is the preaching of the gospel. And so not only must we go forth, but we must preach. We must spread forth the gospel message. We must sow the seed of the gospel, and thereby we can expect the Lord to save His people and to draw His people unto Himself. It is remarkable here in reference to Simon's answer how that, Lord, we fished all night and haven't caught anything. It's remarkable that the Lord simply stated to Simon and these fishermen, just go out and do what you've already done. Go out and let down your nets just like they had done all night and hadn't caught anything. I think it's remarkable because the Lord didn't tell them, knowing that they hadn't caught anything all night, He didn't tell them to change what they had been doing. A lot of times we see that in the religious world, and sometimes we see it even among the Lord's own churches, that God's people may become discouraged somewhat because there's not people coming to church, there's not seemingly many people being saved, and so there's a temptation on the part of some to change tactics. As if the gospel is not sufficient to set to the salvation of sinners. And I believe that many so-called churches have turned just to that route. That they're not satisfied in the spreading of the gospel, the simple preaching of the gospel, but have turned to other means. But the Lord didn't say here, well, you've let down your nets, well, try some other means. Maybe get a hook and some bait to entice the fish or do something different than what you've been doing. After all, you haven't caught any fish in the manner that you did all night long. But no, the Lord didn't tell him to change anything. He just said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. Teaching us that the gospel, the preaching of the gospel is still the simple means by which God uses to save His people. There is nothing superior to the preaching of the gospel and the spreading forth of the gospel message. We must continue to preach and spread the gospel through written means, through preaching, through whatever means we're able to spread it forth into the world, through the support of missions. Whatever means that by which we are able to spread the gospel, we must spread it. Because that is the means that God has ordained, and we cannot turn aside to other means by which we might try to influence men in order to come to church or to respond to the gospel in some form or fashion. Let's think about that doubt of Simon, that concern of Simon. We see that he doubted a little bit, perhaps. In verse 5, it says, Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And we see there that it's not really doubt, but it is, you know, somewhat expression of Simon of weariness, of discouragement, and perhaps even doubt that, well, we fished all night and we haven't taken any fish. Why should we expect to go out now and catch some? And I believe that that is something that God's people must be wary of in the work of the Lord, in the work of fishing for men. It is easy for us to become doubtful and fearful and discouraged because we do not see the results that we think we ought to see. We may become faithless, and our faith may not be as strong as it ought to be because we haven't seen any results. I probably said this before here, but many times in preaching the word in Papua New Guinea at the markets, for the whole time that we did that in preaching at the markets in Papua New Guinea, we rarely saw any response from the people. Now, we saw a lot of curiosity. And so far as I know, through all the preaching that we've done there over the years, public preaching, I don't know of even one person that was converted by it. And so it would be easy to say, well, we must be doing something wrong, or the gospel is not sufficient, or we need to change our tactics, or maybe why go? Because there doesn't seem to be results as there should be. After all, didn't the Lord say that He would save His people through the preaching of the gospel? But you know what happens is that while the Lord may not in our day save a lot of people in the manner that He has in the past, yet He still brings blessings through the preaching of the gospel. Because out of the blue, we would have visitors to come and attend our services, people we'd never seen or known, and things of that nature, where the Lord will bless our obedience to what He's commanded us to do, and we're simply to leave the results to Christ, because it's His work to save, it's not ours. We should not connotate the idea of being fishers of men as thinking that we are the ones who have to get people saved. That's not our work. Our work is to launch out and to let down the net. The work to bring God's people into the net belongs to Christ and Christ alone. And so when we don't see a lot of that going on, or we don't think we see a lot of it going on, we need to just keep faithful to what the Lord has told us to do and leave the results unto Him. It doesn't matter if it's many or few or none. We're responsible just to keep on preaching and doing what the Lord has commanded us to do. In the book of Psalms, there are several references in the Bible that are good reference and good points of reference for this thought of spreading the gospel or casting forth our nets. In the book of Psalms, chapter 126, verse 6, it says, well, let's read verse 5 and 6 of Psalm 126. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What those verses emphasize to us is that there is reward. There is the accomplishment of the work if we're faithful to keep to it. That we can expect the blessings upon the work if we're faithful to do the work. And those blessings and accomplishments are all in the hand of God, in the sovereign will and prerogative of God, and not to us. It is ours to sow in tears, and it'll be ours to reap in joy at the time appointed in the manner that God would be pleased to bless in the work that we're seeking to accomplish before Him. We're to go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, and doubtless or surely will come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In other words, we can expect the harvest upon the work that the Lord has given us to do. Also in the book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter number 11, just a little bit over, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and reading at verse number 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. And those verses seem to emphasize to us how that if we just look at things as they appear sometimes, well, we wouldn't do anything. And I fear that a lot of churches, some churches, have taken that attitude in reference to the Lord's work. Well, it doesn't look like the Lord's doing anything. We're living in the last days, and surely we are. And the Lord doesn't seem to be saving that many people. Yes, it's probably true. No doubt it is true that we are living in the last days of the harvest, where the Lord is just gathering in the gleanings of His people. No doubt that's true. But you see, the Lord never said for us to stop the work and to cease spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He never gave us authority just to sit back and wait for Him to come and not do anything as the Lord's people and as the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must be faithful to the work, because if we observe the wind, we won't sow. If we regard the clouds, we won't reap. Never, it doesn't matter really what the circumstances of our time are. No doubt in the history of the Lord's church, there's been darker days than there are right now. And yet the Lord's people were expected by the Lord just to keep on being faithful in spreading the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to beware of doubt and discouragement in the Lord's work in this matter of being fishers of men. And then there's some other thoughts brought out by our Lord to His disciples here and to us. As we go back to the book of Luke chapter 5, we also see the importance of being persistent in the work. We see that thought brought out in verses 4 and 5, where Simon and the brethren had fished all the night, but the Lord just gives them the instruction again in verse 4 to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Even though you've been fishing all night, go back and do the same thing over and over again. People sometimes say, well, we've got to go to church again and do the same old thing over and over again. There's nothing wrong with that. We ought to desire that we go to church over and over again, and we hear the preaching of the Word over and over again, the teaching of the Word over and over again, and we go out into our community over and over again and into the world over and over again with the same message over and over again to fulfill the work of the Lord. That's what He has commissioned us to do, and we must be persistent in it. We must continue in it. It's necessary. It's important that we persist in the work. And I believe what the Lord is really expressing here is our responsibility as His people. He is emphasizing to Simon and the others here that unless you go out, unless you're responsible and do the work that you've been commissioned to do, the work that you do every day, then you cannot expect results at all. And you cannot expect to please your Master. You know, that's true in a very practical way, even in our day-to-day work. If the Lord's given us work to do daily, we need to go out and do our work. And we can expect the Lord to bless our work. We're to be hard-working people, whether it is in our personal life or in the work of the Lord. We're to be hard-working people. We're to be responsible people and putting our priorities where they ought to be. We ought not to quit. We must be enjoined in the work of the Lord and keep to our nets. Because one thing is for sure, there will not be any fish taken unless they let down the nets for a drought. That's one thing for sure. And one thing is for sure in reference to the Lord's work. Unless we go, unless we seek to fulfill the work of preaching the gospel, We cannot expect the Lord to save any people. He will. All right, let's look there in the book of Luke, chapter number 4. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Let's look at our Lord's example in the book of Luke, just one chapter back, chapter number 4, and verse 42. It says there, "And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them." Jesus was becoming very popular through his teaching, preaching, and miracles. The people wanted him to abide with them and stay with them. But notice Jesus said unto them in verse 43, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. So you see, as the Lord gave us example here, we as the Lord's churches, as the Lord's people, we must go into the other cities also, for as Christ was sent into the world to preach the gospel in the places that he did, likewise the Lord has sent his church forth to do mission work. That's why the Lord's churches are here, to do mission work in our own place and beyond, as the Lord gives us grace to do. So we must keep to the nets. We must persist in the work that the Lord has given us, even until the Lord comes back and takes us home with Him. And then we need another thought here that we would like to try to bring out in the text, and that is how that we stand in need of the Lord's guidance upon our work. I feel convinced that unless the Lord had said in verse 4 to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought, that Simon and the other brethren probably would have been content to go to their home after finishing their work, washing their nets, to go home and to rest, having fished all night. And they were probably very weary. They probably needed the rest. And they probably needed refresh so that they could go back perhaps the next night and fish again. But the Lord gave them instructions here, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. And so He directed them, He guided them in what they needed to do, and lo and behold, they took a great catch of fish at that particular time. And what I believe the Lord would have us to see in that is that we need Him to direct us as the Lord's people, as ministers of the gospel, and as local churches. We need the Lord to guide us in the manner by which He would have us to work and how He would have us to fulfill His work. I mean that before we go anywhere, before we do anything, we ought to seek the Lord's direction. And we ought to ask God to show us what He would have us to do. Give us a burden for the work that He would have us to do. Would you have us to go door to door? Would you have us to have a printing ministry? How would you have us to get out into the community and spread the gospel? How would you have your work to be fulfilled in this place by us? Every church, every minister of the gospel ought to pray in such a way all the time before we undertake any work whatsoever. To do otherwise is to be led about by the flesh, and by our own reasoning, and by our own thinking. It is certainly so in the life of every minister that we must have the Lord's direction for us in our work, wherever He would have us to go, and whatever He would have us to do. And it's true of the Lord's churches as well. We need to be a submissive people, that we're willing to do whatever the Lord would have us to do. Like Paul on the road to Damascus, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" Churches need to have that attitude. "Lord, what would you have us to do?" We know we need to be busy about the work. We know we need to cast forth our net to launch out into the deep. What would you have us to do? And then we need to be willing to do that work. In the verses 4 and 5 also, we see emphasized the necessity of obedience. Simon expressed his doubt, his discouragement. Lord, we fished all night. We've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And so humanly speaking, he didn't see any way by which they would catch any fish at all. But because the Lord said to go out and launch out and cast forth the net, he said, yes, Lord, we'll do it. I'll go do it. And that's the kind of people that we need to be as the Lord's people and as the Lord's churches. In all matters, as the Lord has instructed us, in all matters, as the Lord has taught us, we just simply need to obey His will, obey His word, where His instructions are clear before us as His people. We need simply to obey that word. You know what will happen in that is that the Lord will bless us in that obedience. Obedience really is the exercise of faith. It's simply obeying what our faith directs us to do, laying hold upon the promise of God and trusting God to accomplish His will. That's what obedience is. It's the expression of our faith. And so we must work where the Lord would have us to work. We must work in the manner that the Lord would have us to work. We must go forth bearing precious seed, sowing the gospel message in the capacity that the Lord directs us to, expecting that the Lord will be pleased simply with our obedience. Somebody says, well, Brother Frank, even if we never see a sinner saved, or if we never see another member added to the church, should we just keep on going on? And my answer would be yes, because the Lord said so. And that's enough for us as His people. Because the Lord said so, we simply need to obey and trust Him to accomplish all His work. You know, if our obedience to the Word of God in reference to this, spreading the gospel, if our obedience does nothing more, it will establish us as faithful servants of the Lord. Those to whom the Lord will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Regardless of how many people the Lord is pleased to save or add to His church. So we need to have willful obedience to the Lord's instructions concerning the work of His church. And then we want to conclude with this thought as our last point perhaps, and that is how we're utterly dependent upon the Lord for the blessing. As they let down the nets at the word of the Lord, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Verse 6 then says, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. Now what was the difference between the night before and this present occurrence just a little while later in the day? What was the difference that caused all the fish to be gathered together at that certain spot and the net to take them all in to the extent that it began to break? Well, it's obvious that it was the Lord. It was the sovereignty of God. It was the Lord filling up the net at a particular point in time, at a particular place in time, for the particular purpose of God to fulfill His will in the lives here of His disciples. And so we ought to look at the Lord's work in such a way. For us to run in the flesh is vanity at best. For us to run after our work and our will and our causes and our accomplishments is all vain and folly. But to run in obedience to the Lord's will is to depend upon the Lord's blessing to fulfill His work. There in verse 6 and 7, and they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. In a practical way, we see how that we're to be partners together as the Lord's people working together. All of us, no matter what our station in life or our station within the church, male or female, we're all to lift a hand to the work. In whatever capacity we're able, we're all to put forth our hand to the work of the Lord. as meant from the minister of the gospel on down to the church member, we're to put forth our hand and work together to bring in the catch of the Lord. And we can trust God for the success. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, these familiar verses, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, we're told in essence this truth. Reading there at verse number 5, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. But who are we, you see, but ministers, God's people, laborers together, partners together with God in His work. We are His members, the members of His body that He is using to accomplish His will. But who is it that gives the increase? Who is it that causes sinners to believe? The Lord does that. It's the Lord that gives the increase and causes His church, His work to be successful. So it is ours to work, it is to persevere, it is to cast forth the net, it is to launch out into the deep. But we cannot do that apart from the Lord. We need the Lord before going before us and to give us success depending upon His grace. That thought there about the net being full, I think sometimes we might have the idea that that is a promise to Simon and to James and John and to the other disciples that if they'll just go out and preach the gospel, and every time they do that, God's going to give them a lot of people in salvation. He's going to cause a lot to believe, and He's going to fill up the church with believers. But if that's the case, then we must be utterly failures today. Because we go out and preach and preach, as I said in PNG, and we see little response. No, I don't believe that's what the Lord is trying to teach His disciples here. That every time they go out, they can expect the Lord to save somebody. Some evangelists have said in the past that they have to have somebody, they have to save somebody every day. Or they don't feel like they've done the work of the Lord. No, we don't think that way. It's not ours to save. What I believe that the Lord would emphasize by the full net is the truth that the salvation of His people is the work of God, is the sovereign work of God, and that the fullness of the net emphasizes that the Lord will save all of His people. He will save each and every one. He will accomplish the salvation of all of His people. And He'll do that because that's what He came to do. He came to save His people from their sins. And He will accomplish that work until the very last one is brought into the fold, is brought into the net, has been caught by the preaching of the gospel. We might put it that way. So we're dependent upon the Lord and knowing that even in the perilous times in which we live, the Lord is still in the business of saving sinners. He still has sheep to bring into the fold. He still would have His churches to be just doing the same thing that they've been doing for over 2,000 years. Spreading forth the gospel message. Knowing that our Lord is going to save each and every one of His people, no matter where they are. Maybe He'll use His people, His churches, to go out to the very far reaches of the world to bring in just one of His sheep someplace. The Lord can do that. And so we need to remember, we need to be faithful to the Lord, and we need to always emphasize in our lives the priority of the Great Commission as the Lord's churches, as the Lord's people, that we must be faithful to the work He's given us to do. And when Simon saw that in verse 8, it says, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And we realize that we're nothing. The Lord is everything. And what we see as impossible, what we see as nothing really going on, in reality, the Lord is fulfilling His work and His purpose right now, even today, through His churches and through His people. We must simply be faithful to it.